I was just thinking about 1 Samuel 30. Let's turn there quick. I'm just going to highlight a couple things. Tonight, I just want to encourage people. It might be morning or afternoon, wherever you are, but there's been a lot of stuff going on in the world, and the pressure and the changes and the adjustments that people are having to make with their kids and with their work, and it just becomes a lot. And then if you're a researcher, sometimes the more you research, the more discouraging it is, because you see some of the agendas that are coming, and we're in transition to a few things. So we have to encourage ourselves. And a lot of people are dealing with stress. So I kind of wanted to deal with stress and encourage people tonight that we just need to take time out and rest and have a good friend. Go do some things that are fun that you can still do. And being restful in these times and being peaceful is so important, that you take care of yourself and that you learn how to help other people. Maybe you're strong and you're not going through anything right now, but that's why we need to assemble, because when you're weak, somebody else is strong. And when you're strong, someone else is weak. So we help each other. We help each other through hard times. And that's why we need to assemble. And that's why the devil doesn't want us to assemble, because we strengthen each other in the Lord. But a quick story that we all know is in 1 Samuel 30, and how David, he came to the city, and it was burned with fire. In verse 3, and he saw that the wives and their sons, well, he had two wives, that'd make anyone cry. But he had wives, and they were all gone, and their sons. Thought we'd make you laugh here a little bit. And their daughters, they were taken captive. And when David and all the people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they wept until they had no power to weep. They were very discouraged because everybody was taken away and everything was captive. In verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. I mean, here you have all these other things happening, and the very friends and the people that you're with, they wanted to kill him. I mean, how many know that's very stressful? So he was really discouraged. He was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because of the soul of all the people. They were grieved for their sons and their daughters. But David, what did he do? And this is what we have to do in this hour too, is encourage ourselves in the Lord. Sometimes people aren't going to come along and encourage you. David had to encourage himself, and we're going to have to encourage ourselves in these days too. But what did he do? He didn't run away from God in those times. A lot of people, they're discouraged. There's a lot going on with ministries right now. Remember about 6 years ago, I said, look out for the scandals because they're coming. I didn't even know what scandals were, but today, two major ministries, actually three in the last week, four. some of the big mega churches, and this is, I don't know if God's judging this or if they're doing it to bring down the evangelical industrial complex, to discourage Christians and to have Christians fall away. But one thing we've learned, not to put our trust in men and not to follow men. Take what you can, but they're just men. But we keep our eyes on Jesus. And this is what we have to do. We have to refocus. It doesn't matter what's going on in the kingdom or the world or what's going on. We got to stay focused. Otherwise, we're not going to be encouraged. Because men will let you down. We've let ourselves down. But God's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we have to encourage ourselves with these words. So what did he do? He pursued the Lord. He didn't run away from him. And in times when things don't happen the way we think, or we have a problem or an obstacle, we're tempted to run away. Run away from people, especially in the movements that we came out of. You never got compassion. If you went through something, you better not tell anyone, or they thought you were something wrong with you. You had sin in your life, or you didn't have enough faith. So people basically didn't reach out for help because they would get condemned. And so now we've got to relearn that. We have to say, if someone's going through something, they need someone to stand with them. They need a call. They need encouragement. They don't need condemnation. And they don't need someone to tell them, you miss God, or what's wrong with you. That movement that we came out of had no love. And we have to relearn that now and take people by the hand and help them and encourage them. But we can't give it if we're empty. If we're dry and we have not encouraged ourselves, it comes to a point where your gas tank gets empty too. And then you can't go anymore. And this is what happened in this story. They went and some of them started fainting. And in verse 6, some of them just couldn't go any farther. And they rested. And what do? They stayed by the stuff, it says in verse 24. They stayed by the stuff. In other words, they knew they couldn't go any farther. And sometimes you have to know when that point is in your life when you just say, you know what? As a mother, we give and give and give and give and never take care of ourselves. We have to learn you got to take care of you. But they knew at that point that they were so faint, they were so discouraged and battle fatigued that they couldn't go any farther. So I just want to encourage people that are at that place tonight that we have to learn how to get our confidence and faith back in the Lord. Many of us, we had pastors and leaders that we always looked to them. Well, everything that can be shaken is being shaken right now. But the kingdom of God isn't shaken. So if your favorite preacher is falling right now, it doesn't matter because God is still on the throne, right? Yeah, yeah. But we have to make adjustments. We have to quit looking at the saints and keep our eyes on Jesus, because otherwise we will get discouraged because people aren't who we thought they were. Sometimes they don't preach what they don't live what they preach. But here in Psalms 100, and I thought this was a great psalm. This is what I was originally going to open with, but it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And that's one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. We talked about counterfeit joy last week, but there is the joy of the Lord. And we want to serve him with gladness, even though we don't feel it sometimes. We feel sad. Here David wept. He wept until he couldn't weep anymore, right? So there's times we go through things. There's times that when I came from the movement, no one ever shared anything but victory. It had to be victory. And no one could relate because people are going through things. But they thought, if I ever get to that level that brother so-and-so is on, I won't go through things either. Well, that's a lie. One of those so-called faith preachers is in the hospital right now. And it's like, well, he's the one that put down everybody for their faith. It doesn't even work for them is what I'm trying to say. We go through stuff. We go through stuff. And so we need to encourage each other in the Lord. But here it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve him with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We just sang a little tonight. It's good to sing. Sometimes it gets your mind off of other things and it gets you and puts you in focus. And now the trouble is trying to find people that really know how to bring in the presence of God. Because we've not had true worship the last few years. We've had entertainment. But you can still, if you dig, we like the Selah singers and stuff. They get you in and they focus on the Lord. But know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He talks about sheep over 500 times. You'd think that's his favorite animal?
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about sheep. But enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And that's the other thing. When we're thankful for what we do have, because a lot of us are going through loss and grief. Things are changing. People are dying. Our parents and our cousins and all different people. So we're facing not only stress, but also grief. So we have to face what we're going through and deal with it rather than, I'm not going through anything. Well, it's okay to admit you are and tell a friend and have someone agree with you or take a rest and do something pleasurable. Sometimes you just work and you don't have enough fun. So you got to kind of set back and get balanced out again. And some of you that research, you're going to get burnt out because all you're going to find out is so much that is happening. And you got to check in with the news, but don't feed on it. When you feed on it, it's just so negative and it's just so lying. There's so many people that are on there that are paid to propaganda. So you have to know how much you can take. And sometimes you just have to shut it all off. And just encourage yourself, do something relaxing. So here, his people are called sheep of the pasture. And for people that have fallen, or you feel like, you know, God's mad at me, or I haven't served the Lord the way I should, I want to encourage you for a minute. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, all of us like sheep. Here again, here's that sheep. Have gone astray. We've all blown it. And some of you need to let God forgive you from that because you keep your testimony, you keep bringing up the bad stuff. Well, forgive yourself. And if other people, we got to move on. We got to forgive others. So that means we have to allow God to forgive us too, the blood of Jesus. So we've turned our own way. We've all made mistakes. Sheep in themselves lack a sense of direction. They're not the smartest animals. They're always getting lost. They always wander off. And that's why we do need our shepherd, keep our eyes on the shepherd, but we also need the herd. Because if you wander off, you're going to get isolated. And you get isolated, you end up doing things you shouldn't do. And then you end up feeling sorry for yourself. And then you become a casualty. And we don't want any more casualties because we are in war. We're in a spiritual battleground. But we, like sheep, are among wolves. We're basically defenseless. You know, when a wolf comes, you don't have a claw. You don't have sharp teeth. You don't have speed. You can't just run away. You can't roar. So basically, we're an easy prey. So what do we need to do? Keep our eyes on the shepherd. He is our shepherd. We shall not want. We shall not lack, because he is meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory, even though sometimes it doesn't seem like he's on time. You're going through stuff. Where are you? We've all been there. So we can be an easy target. But when we get our eyes focused back on the Lord, get it, and sometimes it's a work, getting away from the world, and getting our eyes back on him, focus, he gives us that peace. No matter what we're going through, I guess I will share this. I wasn't going to, but a couple weeks I didn't do a message. And I guess thought I was just, you know, I hit a wall and I just thought, okay, I need a break. Because I haven't had a break in 4 years. I was preaching every week. And all of a sudden, it was just like I hit a wall, and I seemed like, and especially holidays, the religious holidays, I don't like those because they're so religious. Rather than having a real relationship, it's all this phony, baloney, Santa Claus stuff. Anyway, so I thought I'd just take a little break. Well, lo and behold, I ended up getting a diverticulitis attack. I don't know if you've ever had that before, but I literally was so hot. At one point, I thought, this is it. I'm just going to go on and be with the Lord. Have you ever felt that? You just feel like this is it. I didn't even tell Tim how much I really, but I've never had anything like this. This was just, I was glad I had the week off. Let me tell you, I took 1 week off and then I decided to take another. But it wasn't just pleasure. It was battling. It was fighting through. And praise God for rest and taking time out. But there was a time that I wouldn't, in our old churches, we could never ever share anything. Yeah. It was just like you'd get condemnation, you'd get rebuked, you'd get, and how sad that people are going through stuff all over and they can't tell anyone. So I just want to hear from you guys this week. Send me an email. I want to hear, some people are going through surgeries and we're going to pray for you. We've got some people on our list right now that are, and we need each other in this time. Right. Don't try to go it alone. Don't try to be so tough and act like nothing's going on, because our outward man is perishing, sagging, and bagging in places we don't really like. The outward man is perishing. And we were taught if you had enough faith, you don't need insurance, you don't need anything. So we kind of thought we'd never, ever even get attacked. I mean, get saved and you have health, wealth, and everything. Well, you live long enough and you know things happen. Life happens. Reality happens. And when reality hits some of these people, they backslide because they think they never got to that level of where they wouldn't be attacked. Anyway, so sheep have a knack for getting dirty. Mary's little lamb, whose fleece was white as snow, was a house pet. Real sheep are filthy. We're like Velcro strips. We collect stuff. We collect attitudes. We collect offenses. Oh boy, just get married and you can be offended. You know, you don't get your own way. You don't get your own way. Sometimes you got to bend. Sometimes you got to twist. Sometimes, why? Because you don't get your own way. We're basically selfish. So we got to get that stuff off of us, right? So that's why I think it's kind of good that real sheep are like walking Velcro strips. Everything clings to us. In the natural, if you're a sheep, you have grass, burrs, manure. But us as sheep, we get offended, we react in the flesh, we're not walking in love, we judge, we criticize, we're touchy. God's love is not easily offended. Those that love thy law, nothing shall offend them, except for, we always have an excuse card, don't we? So what do we do through all this? We know that we're sheep, we know we need a shepherd, we know we need help, We know we need rest. We know we need encouragement. We go through stress. Stress, we're going to talk about that in a minute here, but we have to keep our eyes on Jesus because he said, I am the good shepherd. Some of you had bad shepherds as far as pastors go, but he's not like that. He's a good shepherd. He is a good shepherd. He's with us in every storm. He's with us in the valleys. Psalms 23, in the valley of the shadow of death, he's with us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fiery furnace. He said, well, God can deliver us, but if not, I'm still not going to bend. I'm still not going to bow and serve your gods, right? Same thing with us. We might be in the fire, might be going through stuff, but we're still going to serve the Lord. We're still going to praise him, and we're still going to thank him. Psalms 100. We keep our eyes on him and be thankful. And I think sometimes we serve our enemies because we're not thankful. We're not thankful for what we do have, and we only focus on those negative things that we don't have. Now in 2 Timothy, let's turn there. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1, but this also know that in the last times, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Sometimes people change. You give them a little money and power and they change. Can you stay humble if God blesses you? Blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Here's the unthankful group, and unholy. Are we seeing unholiness? And we hate to tell you, but we haven't seen anything yet. As the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There's going to be a lot of things that we can't even imagine. We're going to be vexed by the things that we see and hear, even on television, what's happening now. It's just starting to open up the darkness that's coming. That's why we have to, verse 3, without natural affection. You can't even preach sermons on this anymore without natural affection. On and on, false accusers, despisers of those that are good. So there's persecution coming, we know. Lovers of pleasure, having a form of godliness. They always want to be religious and in a religious system, but it's not with the power of God. It's not with the real true power of love. It's this false unity that they want. It's all this other stuff, but it's not the true gospel. And the Bible tells us in the end there's going to be a great falling away with what? Another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. So we have to keep our eyes on the word. And, you know, sometimes you just got to shut some of these preachers off because they all they do is blah, blah, blah. They don't tell you nothing. It's just like, look at me, look at the house I have, look at the car I drive, look at this, look at that. And it's narcissism. They're not talking about Jesus. They're talking about their planes, their houses. And if you had as much faith as them, no, if you had a congregation as big as them, to give to them is really what it is. But that doesn't mean that we stop serving the Lord. Even though we've seen this stuff, thank God if you've come out of it, there's a shaking as you come out of it. You've got to know that we've been deceived. And there's probably a lot of things still we don't see. But as we come out, you might feel alone. You might feel like nobody sees what you see. Just still stay faithful. Stay humble. Share when you can. Some people don't want to hear truth. They're blinded. Because they're lovers of pleasures. They go to church just to be entertained and feel good. Well, these end times, you're going to need more than entertainment and feeling good. You're going to have a strong foundation. As the storms and the climate changing, the cold is getting colder, and the hot is going to be hotter in these end times. There's a lot of things that are going on, but we have to keep steady. And when we get stressed and we need help, we got to ask for help. So here, perilous means fierce times. In the Bible dictionary, that word perilous times, fierce times, wild times, hostile. Just miles away from us, someone went and blew up the whole health, some people there. I don't want to say certain words to get, but perilous times. People are snapping. People are losing it. People are angry. And it's going to be perilous times, full of risks. Hazardous times, the Bible says here. Perilous means fierce, wild, hostile, dangerous, full of risks, and hazardous. From everything from the weather to people snapping. And sometimes we don't get the world news of what's going on in other countries. There's been cyclones and all these different, and Japan has had terrible, lots of things are happening around the world. And the Bible says these are birth pains and they're going to increase. So we have to make sure our faith is in God and not in the systems of the world, in the evangelical industrial complex or the medical industrial complex or the military industrial complex that we're probably going to see more of in these days. But our faith has to be in Him. And that means sometimes you got to just set everything else aside and spend that time with Him to get that peace back, because He only can give us that peace. We can't do it in our own strength. These are stressful times, times of changing of laws. Another executive order. It gets just overwhelming sometimes. People are overwhelmed. If they're owning a business, they don't know what the law is going to be next week. You know, what do they prepare for? It's very, very stressful for a lot of people right now. And we can see that we're losing our freedoms. We can see more and more. Remember I told you, beware when they say, look out for your safety. Well, the next thing is also your security, because as these big tech things take over, there's more and more AI intelligence going into play of their tracking and tracing everything that we're doing. So how do we live in this world that is, as it starts transitioning into these new agendas? We transition with Him. He's with us in the storm. We're going to have to learn how to walk through these stressful times with Him. Just like He was with Paul. And Paul went through a lot of things. We might get there. We'll see. But he didn't have it like a lot of people think. Oh, I'm an apostle and I'm so blessed. No, they paid a price to be a Christian back then. But God was with them. They faced anxiety, fear, and depression. One of the Webster's 20th Century Dictionary defines stress as strain or pressure, tension, distress. Or as a verb, stress means to put pressure or strain upon. Dealing with your parents when they age, it's pressure. It's, you know, you're not used to having to take care of other people. And as they age, it's stressful. Things are different. Things are changing. And our world is changing. Our own bodies are changing. Who knew? You know, it's like, wow, things are changing. To put pressure on, strain upon, to subject to force. Notice that word force. I thought that was interesting because we've been talking about the God of forces being satanic and antichrist. Force. Things are forced when they're not of the Lord. God wants a free will. Stress is caused by something exerting force on us. This is what the verb says. Force of the new laws. If you don't do what they say, then jail time. All of a sudden now threats are coming. It came off as just a good idea, but now we're seeing, especially in Canada, I'm praying for Canada and Australia, different places, there's stricter rules. And even getting in and out of a country, I've had some testimonies of people of, wow, this is definitely a stressor because we can't control it. Things we can control, we feel it's okay. But when things are changing so fast and we don't have a say, we don't get to vote, we don't get to say, hey, I don't want this. Things are just being forced upon us to do certain things. Living in this world, we're going to have to learn how to walk through the fire. Things we can't control. And the fear of the unknown. We like to know. We want to be secure. And now they're telling us this is going to change. A cashless society is on the horizon. Different resets are happening. Wow, we got to put our trust in the Lord, because we can do all that we know to do, but then we have to be still and know that He is God. We have to be still, let go, and just say, God, this is yours. I can't do this. Lord, give me your strength. I need it. These are simple prayers. We don't have to lay on the floor and bawl for 5 hours. Well, I used to think, just pray through. So much works. But the simple heart cry, we're sheep and we need our shepherd. We need direction. We need guidance. We're hurting right now. Things aren't the way, we didn't plan this. How come this is happening? So not knowing what the future is going to be. Stress is now part of our daily lives because we're losing control of what is happening in our world and in our lives. Luke 21:26, he said, men's hearts failing them for fear. And you just turn on the news and the fear. Sometimes you get with a friend and they have to knock that fear off of you because you've been listening too much to what is going on in the world, and all of a sudden the fear's taken hold of you And that can happen to all of us. We have to get rid of that fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but the devil sure loves to give you fear. Every little ache and pain, you're dying now. So men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Now another translation, the Berean Study Bible, says men will faint from fear and anxiety over what is coming upon the earth. So we don't want to faint because of what we think is coming. We got to keep ourselves, God, you are God. My trust is in you. I'm thankful. Just those simple things in Psalms 100. I'm thankful. Keep singing. How many of us lose our joy because we're going through something? We stop singing. We stop being thankful. Those are the things that open up the door for us to keep focusing on the Lord. Those simple little things that we forget to do. So fear and anxiety, not only stress and fear, but also grief. Many of us are going through grief. We're losing things that we thought we'd never lose. Whether it be a job, whether it be health, family, can't see people. You're grieving, and people don't even know what grief is, so you don't know what's wrong with you. Why am I so sad? What's wrong with me? You're grieving. You're grieving the changes that are happening so fast. And a lot of people thought, oh, last year was really bad. Well, this year is proving no different. And so people just don't see hope. Hope deferred makes a heart sick. So they don't know how to come out of it. So you're in grief, and then you're in loss and isolation. God didn't create us to be alone. He said, assemble yourself. Well, they're trying to isolate everyone and get everyone away from each other. We need that social interaction. Social media, everything's taking us away from people. We need each other.
Amen.
So we got to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not into our own understanding, because our own understanding will always leave us into depression and self-pity. Remember, we have to forgive. Sometimes we know what's going on and we know the powers that be and what they're doing. We got to keep forgiving because we have to guard our heart. And that's a daily job, to guard our heart with all diligence. That means we have to make an effort to make sure fear doesn't grow in my heart. Unforgiveness doesn't grow in my heart. Vengeance is yours. Lord, you're going to repay these wicked people, because the Bible says they're going to grow worse and worse. They're going to wax worse and worse. So we have to get ourselves out of the way and just say, Lord, you're going to deal with those people. I can't. And I can't entertain it in my mind, because what it does is it wrecks your heart.
Right.
So you got to guard your heart. These little things. Remember, vengeance is the Lord's. Romans 12. Keep forgiving our enemies. Remember, God is the judge. Jesus said in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. Some of these people are so demonic, they have no idea. They're just being led by the spirit of darkness. In John 6:66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with Jesus. Why? Because things got tough. He had some hard sayings, and they didn't like those hard sayings. Some people just got saved because they thought they had a wealth, prosperity, healthy life, and now they're facing reality, and they don't want to walk with God anymore. He never promised that. That was false teachers. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. He tried to prepare them for what's coming. He said, let no man deceive you. Because man is going to try to seduce you away from God. That's the spirit of Antichrist that's been in the world. So we're going through hard times. He didn't say we wouldn't. But we haven't been prepared. And if you're not prepared for battle, you're going to faint. If you haven't been in some kind of spiritual boot camp to know hard times are coming, when the first wind of hard time comes, you faint. You want to give up. You want to quit. You want to get mad at somebody. They wanted all their troubles to be over. In 1 Timothy 4:1, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be me. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. Oh, the devil likes to preach. He's got some demons. The Bible mentions worry, anxieties, cares, and burdens. Doesn't say the word stress in the Bible, but today we call it stress, anxiety, and cares. Cast all your cares on the Lord. It's like you're casting out fish, you know, that line. It comes back. Cast this care on you, Lord, and it comes back. You got to keep casting, because we like to take things back. When we start worry, we become anxious and worn down. It's just part of our human nature when we worry because we can't control things and we don't know what the future holds. We get into stress. And what can happen when we get into stress? It takes away the joy. And we need joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. My example last week was I babysit my granddaughter once a week, and she started crying. And I said, what are you crying for? Because my dolls are over at the other house, and I want those dolls to be with these dolls. And all of a sudden, it just struck me so funny, and I started laughing. I said, you left those dolls anyway. And then she started laughing, and she saw how ridiculous that sounded. And whenever we get together, we just laugh. She goes, we laugh our heads off. We like to laugh because life is so intense, especially for these little kids. They have to go to school with all this stuff on, and when they come home, they need some fun. Yeah. They need to lighten up, and we need to laugh. We need to laugh at each other. Amen. So we need to keep that joy. Hopes and dreams are being shattered by the realities of life. Our outward man is decaying, sagging, and bagging in ways we didn't expect. I have two older sisters, and I ask them, is this normal? Yeah, because we've never been here before. We've never been here before, right? So if you don't have someone to talk to you about, and I'm not going to go into this, I was, but we don't have time. 2 Corinthians 11:24-27, Paul dealt with stress. Persecutions, beatings, all the stuff he went through, the whole list there. He faced anxiety. He faced worry. There's so many different things that he faced. And wow. Also, we are fastly becoming a godless nation. Things now are changing, and the light's going out. We're no longer a Christian nation. And the churches that represented Christ, sometimes now we see that they really weren't. It was all about another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit. Don't be discouraged by that, because he said this was going to happen. So you're going to find it's a smaller remnant than you thought, believers, because we have to face reality with Christ. Yeah. Our agendas are being forced upon us. And there's one thing I wanted to close with this, kind of on a roll with Warren Smith, Deceived on Purpose, because things are being forced. And I was going to go into all that, but I have talked a lot about the force of faith. It's not real faith. Real faith is simplicity. It's a relationship. And it comes by hearing. It doesn't say it comes by speaking. Speak it 20 times. Decree it, declare it. Demand God obey it. Faith is just like childlike. It comes. When you read the Bible, faith is there. But he has a chapter in chapter 7 on Deceived on Purpose, the New Age Implications of the Purpose-Driven Church. And he came out of the New Age, and he saw it in the churches, and he's trying to warn people, but people don't want to hear. But he said something about force, because I always, when you hear that word force, you need to pay attention, because this is where it comes from. The eternal creative force of the universe, this is Robert Schuller in 1978, the eternal creative force of the universe we call God can surge within your being to give you self-belief, self-esteem, self-love, self-confidence. Without it, you're sunk. With it, you're invincible. That has nothing to do with God. It's all about you and the force within you. Also, he said in a book, it's up to me. Well, aren't you glad it's not up to us? Yes, people who are spiritual and emotionally connected to the eternal creative force discover their powerful potential as a creative personality and win the big prize in living. On and on he goes about. But the word force is a key New Age concept and is at the heart of the New Age belief. And the word force has been in our churches. In the evangelical industrial complex, the word force, the force of faith, the force of joy, the force of righteousness. God is not a force. But he explains this really good. Christians, especially leaders, need to be very careful about their use of this word, force, and any other word that has special meaning in the New Age and in the new spirituality, the one world religion. One of the main ways that the new spirituality is sneaking into the church is through this kind of overlapping vocabulary, where Christians unknowingly use words that are heavy in the New Age meaning, words like force. The use of overlapping New Age words can create great confusion about what is really being said and can easily lead to great deception down the line. Specific definitions of words are so very important. Introducing new crossover, New Age, new gospel terms into the church without warning about the New Age implications of these words can open up the door into the new spirituality. I had learned while in the New Age that the God of the New Age is often referred to as a force. Let me say that again. He had learned while he was in the New Age that the God of the New Age is referred to as a force. In the Course of Miracles states that there is an irresistible force within each and every person. And lastly, he said, when I became a believer, I found it very interesting that the King James Bible describes Antichrist as honoring the God of forces. The prophet Daniel, looking to the latter days, wrote this about the Antichrist, Daniel 11:38, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. So yes, we've had that slip into a lot of our teachings and lives. We've heard these things. Some of us knew that was wrong, but we didn't know why it was wrong. And now we have to test and try and make sure we're coming out of these things. And don't condemn yourself, because we've all been in some of these things. But in these end times, we've got to come back to the simplicity of knowing who Christ is. That simple trust as a sheep with his shepherd. He is my shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to direct us. Amen. In this stressful time, aren't you glad we have a Savior? He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.
Apart from you, we can do nothing. So we depend on you. You're the vine.